Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You know how you always want to know about everyone else's money? Well, then listen to What We Spend, available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Okay. 75 and sunny, and yet I walked into Rico and Heaven and David all being in a bad mood, all bummed out about Trajan Langdon. We're going to talk about it. We're also going to test their level of religious knowledge later with a papal conclave blitz. It's going to be exciting. Kenny's going to be dressed as a cardinal. We're really going to get into it. And I do have a hypothetical for you at 3 o'clock, and it is about college football. And I'll explain it. And I'm basically going to roll a hand grenade into the bedroom and shut the door behind me. And whatever happens, happens. But we want to start with this. You and Evan and David are all like-minded. You're all bummed out. Trajan Langdon spoke. And while the audio is terrible, we can't play it. It's, guys, it would be a waste of your time as a listener. But I'll outline some of the things that are in here. But I want you to really kind of take the lead on this, because you're convinced of something, and maybe I don't want to be convinced, so I'm, you know, denying reality. But basically, he said the following. If you're going to bring an all-star in, it's going to come through trade, not free agency. TBD on Ivy and Dern extensions. No idea who the second leading scorer would be next year. He thinks that's a good thing. Didn't mention Ivy at first. Kind of made you guys question Ivy's role. But it's led you to the following. You believe Trajan's plan, or at least from what he said today, is WBBT.
Yep.
Bring the band back together.
Yep, Mike. Just like every NBA player, when any call happens, does this. Review it. We're going to run this back. They're going to run back this team. He came out there and he was just talking. He didn't say specifically that he was, but it was the things that I was hearing what he wasn't saying. And it was, you know what? For this offseason, Ausar Thompson won't have blood clots. So he'll actually get to work out with the team. And Ron Holland, he's going to come back with the team. And practice this summer, and whether it's going to be in some of those summer league games or what, but he's going to be working with the team. Cade Cunningham now knows what it feels like to train, and because he's experienced the playoffs, he knows what it takes to win. So now he's not going to be out there training to perform well in game number 45, but he's trying to go to the second round and beyond. He just talked as if a person – he just kept naming off all the key pieces to the team and how over the summer it's going to get better, which led me to thinking he's just going to keep this thing together. And I think he's open to a trade if a trade is there, but I don't think that he's going to be demanding a trade. If somebody calls and offers him a deal and he says, okay, you know, if the Pelicans say, hey, Zion, we want to try to move him. What can we do? I think he would join in that conversation. But I think that call comes from New Orleans. I don't think that call comes from Detroit. I think he's happy with what he has here. And he thinks that if we just get another summer together with the same players, we could get better results. He complimented the fans during the playoffs. And I think he's going to try to bring that team back. And by bringing that team back, I also think, you know, because he talked about, yeah, I brought in some free agents and things kind of changed while they were here, which I felt like he started to fall in love with those guys. So, David, I could be wrong, but to me, sounded like, as you like to call it, was it WBBT? So I think that's going to happen. I think the Detroit Pistons will keep it together, and they're going to run this thing back next year.
So they're every team in this town.
You're going to see minor changes, maybe a couple of fringe players like they did.
Yeah, no one cares. So that's
wow.
Rico, no one cares. Like, you could sign a zillion Fontecchios. See yourself out. So basically, we're WBBT City. Lions refused to make the big move. Wings refused to make the big move. Tigers tried.
I was about to say,
didn't Detroit execute
try,
it. Tigers tried.
And they were willing to even overpay.
And the Pistons, according to you, Evan and David, are convinced, hey, Ron Holland will get a full summer to work out. A sore, no blood clots. We're just going to keep the band together. David, do you agree with Rico? Explain that.
I don't agree.
You read something different into it?
Here's what I read into it. It's too early to know. That's what I read into it. We just finished the playoffs. I absolutely understand he had to speak. Yes, the season's over. Every GM should speak when the season is over. But I just didn't take anything from it. It's just too early to know anything on decision-wise. If they're going to trade for someone, if they're going to keep the young guys, I just don't think I learned anything today.
You know what? The only one I did not know about was Jaden Ivey. And Jaden Ivey, he said by his own admission, he was like, yeah, you know what? I left him out, and, you know, I left out a few other people. But he talked about all the other players, but Ivey was omitted. Ivy's the only one I don't know, David, because I don't know if Ivy's going to be a key part of this team or Ivy's going to be the chess move, the piece that they're going to try to bring in somebody else. He's the only one. He's like, hey, J.I.'s down working out right now. But other than that, what I gathered, they're going to run this back. And they think that they have something here. And I wouldn't expect any no free agent move. If there's going to be a big move, it's going to come through a trade. He's like, hey, I don't know who the second scorer is going to be next year. And, yeah, it's a good thing. Like, okay, wait a minute. What? Don't you want to know who? I mean, we all keep saying you need somebody to help out Cade, and you want to get somebody who you definitely know, yes, this person plus Cade equals a winning team, not, hey, man, it's going to be fun to figure out who's going to be the second leading scorer next year on this team.
Is there a question in here, or is this just like we're just going to keep it rolling? God, I want to know why this is this way. That's what I want. Why is this town this way? WBBT. Why? Why? That's what I'm more interested in. I'm not interested in going through the pablum of GM quotes. Why are we this way? Answer it. Someone. I don't care if you're on the road. I don't care if you're sitting in studio or behind the glass. I don't care if you're up on a roof. Why? Why will no team in this town take the swing?
Because you don't want the risk. You don't want to take the big risk, because if you take that risk,
oh, but
and
why?
It fails.
Oh, this is the hardest town in America, isn't it?
It's not. It's not, because this town, they value something rather than everything. And if you have something, I don't want to give up something and risk that I can get it all. I'd rather just be safe with the something.
No, you put your ass in the jackpot is what you do if you make the big move, because if it doesn't work out, then you look like an idiot. You don't want to do that. You don't want to put your job at risk. You don't want to put your reputation at risk based on making a big swing. I disagree with that line of thinking, because I think that's not how champions are made. Champions are made by doing those types of
okay,
things.
Okay, but Kenny, here's the thing. Here's what you haven't – there hasn't been a champion here in a long time. So –
because we behave like that. That's why there hasn't been a champion in Ohio.
Because this town, once you you'd rather have something than be irrelevant. Because every team that we've talked about at some point has been a joke. And once you start winning, you don't want to go back to that. So I'd rather play it safe and at least be relevant.
Can you name?
I'm not agreeing with this, Mike, before you say anything. Mm. Let me just cut you off right now because you're a little spicy. No, I'm not agreeing with that. But you wanted to know why this town is that way.
Well, then that's pathetic, and you never deserve to win a championship. I hope none of you win a thing then, because I can't name a single person who's been uber successful in business who had that mindset. Not one. I think it's absurd. All of this is absurd. If they want to, well, we're going to let it marinate. Why?
In business and in life, you have to take that swing.
Right.
No matter what you do in life, you have to make a big swing and bet on yourself.
Look at all of it. The Wings are in desperate need of a big swing. Now, I'd argue the Pistons, there's a power shift in the East. You and I have been talking about it all year. The East is in a complete transitionary period. Why not put your stamp on it? Make the Detroit Pistons the team of the next 5 years.
Yeah, right now there's three teams in the East. I think Cleveland, Orlando, and Indiana.
The Tigers' shot will come at the deadline. Because truthfully, they have to be a buyer. If this is who they are, you have to be the team to go out and make that type of move.
And the funny thing is, the irony to all of this is when the Wings were willing to go out there and do big things, they won cups. When the Pistons went out there and took a chance on Rasheed Wallace, it helped them get over the top to win a title. So, yes, that's how it's done, but I don't – they're scared. There's really no other way to put it. If I make this move and this move fails –
Well, look at the Lions, too.
I'm going to be attached to this. So I'd rather be relevant than be great.
I don't think they're scared. I think this town doesn't demand it. So when they don't demand it, there's no reason for the GM to strain themselves and go after big moves because the fan base isn't going to say anything to them. They're just going to sit there and be like, oh, great. Lions won 15 games. Pistons made the playoffs. Tigers made the playoffs.
But David, it's only so much the fans can do. I mean, the only time I really saw the fans have an effect is when the Lions went 0-16 and they just said, enough of this. You got to get rid of this clown.
Yeah, but it's cultural. Like, I agree with you in the actuality. You're right, Rico. They don't get to walk into the office and press a big red button, the trade button. But what David is speaking of is there's a reason Philadelphia is Philadelphia or Boston or Chicago or New York. Those towns are a certain way. So you're right. Fans don't have the actuality. But one thing's been proven. These teams do listen. I'm not going to get into specifics of how that's true. You just need to trust me. These teams listen. So the idea of fans voicing displeasure, you're right. But what does this town do? They fall in love with gym class heroes. Think about it.
No.
They fall in love with their own. And then anytime we try to bring up a trade, that dude's not good enough. What do you mean?
I like to call it the Brandon Inge factor.
Exactly. Like, I mean, we were talking about trade candidates for the Pistons, and everyone, that guy's not good. That guy's, fine, I'm going to get you Larry Bird in his prime. Is that what you want? Let me get you Larry Bird 1984. That's what I'm going to deliver to you. So I want to ask you guys the question, because I think all four teams are in the same spot. Different points of rebuild or their arc. Would anyone have said it was a bad idea for the Lions to make a big move this offseason? No. They chose not to. We'll see if they're right. The Tigers, they tried, didn't execute it. Wings, please. I mean, we're all dying for the Wings to do something, and they need to. There needs to be a jump start. For the Pistons, I think there's a lot of oxygen available in the Eastern Conference if they want to reach out and grab it. Reach out, breathe it in. But you got to make a move. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think a summer of a sore is going to turn him into a 38% three-point shooter.
No.
So I want to hear from you guys. Because my fascination is with Trajan's comments, as Rico eloquently pointed out, it doesn't sound like. Now, again, is he going to pull his pants down at the podium and show you the world map? No, he's probably not. He's got to leave some fog of war. But I'm asking you guys, why are we this way in this town where seemingly these teams are reticent at best to make a bold move? 248-539-9797. All right, quick check at a ticket text before we get to the people. And we're kind of building on Trajan Langdon had a media availability today. And while you don't expect him to come out and go, yep, we're star bleeping, it didn't feel like it was going to be a very aggressive summer. Doesn't mean that's the way it is. We only go by what you say and what you show. The idea is, why is every team in this town the same? They're hesitant, reticent. I don't want to use the word scared. That can be insulting. They don't want to make the big move. Whether it's the Lions, WBBT. Whether it's the Wings, draft, develop, and sign. Now, the Tigers, I will give credit, they tried. Mm-hmm. They didn't execute it, and Lord knows, the deadline will show us. They must do something at the deadline. You go all in, you try to win the World Series. The Pistons, I don't know anybody who thinks keeping this group together is going to land you a championship. This summer, you could really expedite it. Doesn't sound it. So, David, and then we'll get to the callers. Why are we this way?
This town is just complacent. Other big market fans act like big market fans. We're too obsessed with just being good.
You know what? It's funny, David, because I was just thinking that in the break. For some reason, Detroit has been convinced it is a small market. I don't know when that happened, but the organizations looks like, seems like, feels like, comes across as small market teams, and they'll do small market type of things.
Breaking the bank on big free agents doesn't guarantee championships. Only one team wins every year. Building a solid base before taking the big swing is important, or else you'll have a big, huge payroll full of dysfunction.
Yep. You know what? You don't have a big, huge brain because you left out trades. You dishonest rat. Stop it. This is what I cannot stand about the ticket tech sometimes. Yeah, way to leave out, be willfully ignorant to the thing all of us are talking about, trades. But thank you. Thank you for alerting me that this isn't an effing free agent destination. Thank you, Socrates.
From Zach, he wants
I'm sorry, but like, David, you just read one of the most willfully dishonest things maybe of 2025. Sorry. I'm not even mad at you. I'm mad that that person exists.
From Zach, he says, I would argue that the Pistons are the only ones who have made a big move. Eating Monty's contract and turning their fortunes around in less than a calendar year is bold.
You know what? Tip of the cap.
Yeah, it's bold. I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right.
It's bold.
You shouldn't have hired him in the first place.
Uh-oh.
But,
well, he only said no six times. Just had to ask him a seventh. Go ahead, David.
From Bob, I think the problem is that the last big splash that was done was Baez, and I think GMs in this town are scared because of that. I disagree with the logic, but I think that is the reason.
What highly successful person can be scared in the job they do? Do you know like how insulting that is? If you say it, it's one thing, but if you believe it, it's another. If you think scared is going to play running billion-dollar enterprises, which is what sports teams are, I can't help you. Then you shouldn't have the job. If you're scared, now I'm not saying they're scared. They're reticent to do it.
No.
I don't think that's fear.
As I stated, when the Wings were out there making deals and bringing in trades and bringing in people, they were winning. When the Pistons went out there and they got Rasheed, heck, when the Tigers were out there wheeling and dealing, they made it to World Series. They didn't win, but they were one of the most exciting teams in baseball. Like they tried, and then it's like, okay, well, now it's time to, we're just going to save all our pennies and we're just going to do it the old-fashioned way.
Go to Bill, 97.1. Billy, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you just guys doing today? How's your day going?
Hey, man.
Yeah, I didn't get the sense, and from my opinion, listening to the press conference.
I'm going
to
put you on hold because either you're not speaking English or I can't understand your phone. We'll try again in a minute. Let's go to Mike in Sterling Heights, 97.1. Mikey, what's up?
What's up, fellas?
How are you, sir?
Good. Mikey, I love you, but I got to disagree with you a little bit. I got a little bit more history in Detroit than you, man, for you to just go off on all of us this way.
Yeah.
Let's go back a little bit, because
okay,
we got a city of what ifs, man. I mean, the Pistons and all organizations aren't created. Like right now, we saying they all the same. They're not. Pistons back when Isaiah and them was getting it, they made a bold move. They got Adrian Dantley. Didn't work out. They made another bold move and got Mark Aguirre, won a championship. Go ahead, push ahead to, you know, get Rasheed. That was a great move. But the bonehead move, the what-if move when they got Darko. What if?
So hold on, Mike. You're equating making one bad mistake in the draft precludes you from taking the swings that did net you multiple championships.
Nope. I'm not saying that.
Then what are you saying?
We're moving forth to like right now.
Okay.
7 years ago, what if everybody in this town said get Halliburton? I'm talking about the fans that you're talking about. They don't know. You know, they said get Halliburton, but the ownership didn't do that. What if? Right. What if? Just
they,
what if?
They made a mistake.
The Tigers. Well, two more things real quick. The Tigers had the great team that y'all talked about. Everybody said get the bullpen. I'm talking about when they had Verlander, all the starters. We never had a bullpen. What if? What if? What if? Now we're here right now. The Lions, everybody and their mama. I'm talking about the fans like me and you. We telling the owner or the general manager, get you another in. We screaming at the top of our lungs. But that's the decision he's going to make. Another what if. 10 years from now, I hope it don't be a what if. But currently right now, when we talk about these Pistons, I'm going to give Trajan a little leeway.
So, Mike, so you're saying the fans are trying to get ownership to do what they want. Ownership's just not listening.
In some instances, I will agree. Because Mike said, in this town, we just a certain way. No, I've been knowing a lot of people that's been saying, make this move, baby.
Okay, hold on. Mike, here's the problem. Now, again, this is my response to this. First of all, you don't come up with the term Brad bot or Steve bot if there's not a huge number of people. Now, I'm here every day. We talk to people, and then obviously, tens of thousands of ticket techs per week. When I tell you a majority of people are actually more than okay with what's going down, I mean, you can either believe that or you can choose to think I'm playing pretend. I'm not saying nobody believes it. I'm saying a majority of fans are more than happy to, quote, let Brad cook. And if you say otherwise, you're a bad person. If you say, damn it, I want the Pistons to get aggressive, you're told, let it percolate. Steve Botts, there's at least 33% of that fan base that is perfectly content to let Steve bring the rebuild into 2030.
Do you remember when I tweeted out fire Steve Yzerman and I got lit basically on fire and burned at the stake because of that? That's a real contingent of the fan base. That's not just two or three guys.
Right. We are a certain way in this town. And I don't know why, because to me, yes, what the Tigers are doing is great. It's going to take more to win a World Series. I'll see it at the deadline. The Lions, clearly we like having a good football team. But they didn't do anything this offseason to push the rev limiter. When you don't use all your cap space, you're not trying. Argue it. The Detroit Lions, who are one of the best teams in football, did not use all their cap space. For things and stuff and nut butter and whatever they're shopping for in 2027.
True.
They didn't use their cap space. So, like, I just... When Trajan comes out and says what he says, I don't think anyone, I don't think any show on the station has been more respectful of what Trajan and Bickerstaff have done in year one. But we've also future casted, man, sometimes the universe spins faster than you realize, and your opportunity's right here.
Yeah, sometimes, yeah, I was about to say, sometimes your opportunity comes, you don't have to wait in line. All of a sudden the line opens up and you're next.
Right, all I want Trajan to do, pick the pieces you like best, hold on to them. Launch everything else into the sun and go get a player here and let's go. So we'll continue in a moment. I want to stay timely. I don't want to upset David more than I already have today. Okay, so something interesting before I get to the phones. David, Rico, you guys tell me. Now, to me, this is a no-brainer. But in this town, we're not doing it as a topic, but it would fill the lines of people saying no, 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 no. So Bleacher Report, Zach Buckley put together some of the summer NBA trade proposals. All right? This is from today.
Okay.
And the Pistons acquire Zion Williamson. Now, this to me is a no-brainer. Here's what you're sending. This is similar to what I offered, except it's an even cheaper deal. Tobias Harris, $26 million. Jaden Ivey, Bobby Clintman, a 1 and a 2.
Yes.
Mind you, Ivy's
next year's one.
Yeah, and then a future two. Tobias has no role with this team long term. Ivy's extension eligible. I'd rather pay someone else. Hell, go pay Dern if you like. Clintman is a complete unknown. Swedish kid you drafted. And the two draft picks, F them picks. And before you knock Zion, I want you to just remember something. In 28 minutes a night, he scores 25 points. He is one of, if not the most efficient scorer in the NBA. The only reason he's this cheap, the perfectly healthy version's rarely been seen. If it doesn't work, you can still go big game hunting. You're not trading Ron Holland. You're not trading Asur. You're not doing anything zany.
So, Doran's not in that as well. So.
So basically, if it doesn't work, you got to try to get somebody else to want to buy Zion to get him off your
Well, because basically his deal's going to be short enough, you could be out of the Zion business pretty quick. The point I'm making to you is this town, people shoot that down.
Yes.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying?
Nope, they would. Because you want to play the Zion bingo card. He can't stay healthy.
Right. My point is, what are you actually giving up for?
You're giving up nothing. Nothing. Just one first and a second. I don't care about Ivy. I don't care about all that. Bye-bye. Oh, please make That's that all. Move.
I just thought it was a fun note that popped up today, and I would just pass it on to you.
Except for probably Tobias Harris has gotten a lot of Detroiters on his side because
bye-bye.
You saw how tough he acted in the playoff
game. I want to include him in any deal this offseason because of the money portion of it.
And
bye-bye.
The thing is, when they got him in the trade, they traded. He was there to be expendable. We're going to move you along. Get an apartment, not a house, because you're not going to be here that long.
Let's go to the people. Go to Rod. He's up next, 97.1. Rod, what's going on, pal?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Rod. Hey, Rod. What's up?
Other Pistons fans are just scared of what happened with Blake Griffin and how that failed. I think they're just happy that we finally got a playoff win in 15 years and they just want to coast. I'm not that way. I did see that Bleacher Report trade proposal. I'm with it 100%. I saw trade proposals for possibly Jaylen Brown and Devin Booker and things like that.
Yeah.
Go do it. Get it done.
Yeah, those are far more expensive. I just want to say that for the people in the back. But yeah, Rod, yeah. I mean, you have to try.
Yeah, you have to try. I don't get it. So if we're being patient, everybody's fine being patient. If we lose in the first round, maybe game seven next year, I don't want to hear no complaining, no crying, because we're being patient, right?
Yeah.
No, go out, make a big splash. In defense of Brad Holmes, I know everyone is a little upset with the whole Ed Rusher deal. If I'm not mistaken, at like the end of February, early March, didn't it come out that he did reach out to the Browns in regards to Myles Garrett, but they weren't budging? So at least he tried. So, but hey, you guys have a great day.
Yeah, no, Rod, I appreciate it. Ultimately, it comes down to there's a pretty consistent thing that the Lions are doing. They want to draft, develop, and retain their own. And they want to sign their people early. But when you leave cap space on the table and you don't prioritize a pass rusher at any stage, not in the trade market, not in free agency, and please do not sell me that drafting a kid in the sixth round is prioritizing it. You didn't do it in the draft. So ultimately, it's okay to have a conversation. But it's just like that Bleacher Report thing. If I said to Piston fans right now, on your season tickets next year, here's your starting five. Cade, Beasley, Assur, Zion, Duren. Why can't that team finish top three in the East?
I was just going to say, you're looking at probably a top three team. Maybe four, depending on what happens with Orlando. But yes, you will be a have in the East.
Right, you still have beef stew. You still have Ron Holland. You'll still have some bench filler. Who? What's wrong with that? Versus, I'm sorry, there's no scenario I'm bringing Schroeder back. There's no scenario I'm bringing Tim Hardaway back. And honestly, if Malik Beasley doesn't want to take a team-friendly contract, goodbye. I'm not going to pay that guy $18 million a year.
No, Schroeder and Hardaway, it basically depends on how much money I got when it's all said and done. If I got enough to bring one back.
Rico's giving him the biscuits, the crumbs at the bottom of the bag.
But let's be real. You know what? We got, as you said, you can't sit here and not spend all your money.
No, and the problem.
We got a little extra.
The problem for this team, and again, people in this town don't see it. You have $41 million tied up in Tobias and beef stew. All right? I mean, that's not quite a max player, but it's close. Let's go to Dre, Southfield, 97.1. Dre, what's going on, buddy?
Nothing much. So, for starters, I don't agree with the approach, but I do believe that Trajan's being pretty upfront about where they're at. And I go back to his opening presser last year. And ironically, I think that Trajan and Scott Harris had a similar impact by their teams on expected success, in that when they both took their particular jobs, they looked at both their, granted different sports, but they looked at their organization as rebuilds, longer term rebuilds. And both their teams, I think, performed ahead of schedule than they expected. Mm-hmm. And so I think with Trajan, and go back to his presser last year, you said something before he went to break. He said, you want him to pick the pieces he likes and hold on to them. The rest can go. His presser last year, he was asked, what was his outlook on the roster? And he said, and I'm paraphrasing, I was in the West, but I really don't have much of a feel for the roster. And you know, that's how I want to use this year to evaluate. And if you look at the way the season transpired, Ivy left early due to injury. Assur missed all of training camp. you know, pretty much a quarter, you know, good portion of getting ready for the season. I think he's still in evaluation mode, and he's trying to see what is the true trajectory of a Ron Holland summer to summer, or a Stuart Thompson. Once again, I don't agree with that necessarily, that he needs to play close, to play more conservative. I do think they should kick the tires on certain guys that could be available. But I think I understand where he's coming from based on where his initial.
And let me be clear, Dre, I want to make sure I'm clear again, because I don't want my words misconstrued. I don't want them to do some zany Atlanta Hawks all in DeJounte Murray crap. That's not what I am advocating. I'm not screaming for Giannis. I'm not screaming for Jaylen Brown. I'm trying to find a cheap yet potentially paradigm shifting trade. Now, again, if the pricing's not right, I'm not going to knock Trajan. But what I don't want is the in-house sign all my own gym class heroes, and then I can't do anything.
Right, right. You don't want to be irresponsible and commit $20+ million to Malik Beasley and X money to Schroeder and all that. I understand that. And I think that'll be a mistake. Because it's, you know, not like what the Lions are doing, right? That'll be a mistake, especially for basketball, because you need difference makers. So you don't want to commit all your salary cap to guys who are just guys. Right?
No, but Dre, I do think that I think Beasley's going to get an extended deal. I think they're going to try to keep him around, not because of what he did in the playoffs, but what he did throughout the season. And I can't be mad at that, but I can't bring back everybody.
You better be careful what you pay him. We talked about it the other day. You better be very careful, because if you go above a certain threshold, like the mid-level, let's say you signed him to something insane, like 4 at $80
Ooh.
Or 4 at $76 I'm telling you, you're going to hurt yourself and your ability to do the things you need to do. If he takes a team-friendly deal, he wants to be here, we can talk about it. But you know the problem? Oh, but he said he loves the city. So they want to give him his little Burger King crown.
He is all about that social media. When the Bickerstaff didn't get the coach of the year, Detroit versus everybody. Yeah, he's playing it up for the crowd.
You know, Kenny does a hand gesture that would mimic my feelings on that.
I'm with you. If you can sign him for a, as I said, a team-friendly deal, I look at what he did. I think he could be a key piece to this team.
All right, I'll give him a deal, and we're going to subtract a $500,000 for every brick he threw up during the playoffs. And whatever's left over, that's what he gets paid.
Oh, the reverse incentive.
You owe us that paper.
Wasn't the greatest playoff.
$500,000 per brick.
He had a great half in game six.
Cool. You put those highlights on repeat. We'll talk to you in October. All right, we're going to get back to your calls in a minute. Very, very simple, Kenny. Customer service. This is exciting, though. We got hundreds of thousands of people watching worldwide. We've got people waiting. Oh, it's papal conclave time, y'all. So here's what we're going to do. We have our two religious experts from the non-denomination conference, Mr. Rico Beard, and from the Pentecostal conference, Mr. David Hatchetman Hull. Which religious expert will reign supreme? It is time for conclave trivia. All right.
And just so you know, neither David or I are Catholic.
This is fun. There should be a minimum baseline knowledge of religious protocol.
Just before we get the ticket tax of people, hold it. We ain't Catholics.
Well, you're an independent. You're right. The Notre Dame of religion. You are non-denominational. Rico makes his own schedule. David is in the ACC and the Pentecostal Conference. So here we go. All right.
I'm the ACC, not even Big Ten, no, SEC.
Because you're coastal. Pentecostal.
At least you're not the Pac-12.
Now, here we go. Gentlemen, you got to buzz in.
Okay.
How long did the longest conclave last in selecting a pope?
Ooh, that's a good one.
The longest conclave, 3 years.
We're talking about something different. Buzz. You buzzed? What's your answer?
I'm going to say 3 years.
Rico's right. No, you're out. He buzzed in. You're gone.
Oh, crap. I got to buzz in? Okay,
listen, all right. And that one, you can go to YouTube for the highlights of that conclave. It took place in 1268.
Solid year.
It was a big year.
Great year. What a year.
The Pistons won again. All right, Evan.
All right. Cardinals are the one that select the next pope.
Yes.
How many cardinals are there? How many Cardinals are selecting the Pope?
How many Cardinals select the
Pope? We're not talking about St. Louis Cardinals.
Pentecostal is buzzed in.
How many of them total, right? Not just in the conclave. I'm going to go with 85.
There's so many people that are doing a vote.
Is he right or wrong?
He's wrong.
No, how many? You mean how many Cardinals actually vote?
Yes.
Buzz, I'm going to say 10.
Are these final answers, gentlemen?
Final answers? Yes.
133.
You're both heathens. All right, to the next one. Question. What is banned from the papal conclave facility, the Sistine Chapel? What is banned from all of this?
Cell phones.
Yeah, cell phones. Buzz.
You didn't buzz in.
I'm sorry.
You're not following protocol.
You know what? As an independent, we don't follow rules.
Is that real?
No.
But also, okay, here we go. Next level, then. You have to buzz in. What food is banned from the papal conclave? Anything that would have to do with food. Okay, Rico's in.
Deviled eggs.
Okay, you're out. That's a great bit. No, you know what? Here are the things that are banned from the dinner table.
Buzz, butter.
Also wrong. All cutlery and glass.
Okay.
But also any food item that could conceal messages such as chicken or pies.
Okay.
Okay,
They don't want anything from the outside world influencing.
What? A pie? Yeah, because you don't want to bury political messaging.
What is this, like prison? You sneak it in a cake?
All I'm telling you, nuns prepare the food such as lamb skewers, boiled veggies, and of course, spaghetti. Yeah, go ahead, Kenny's pizza box.
Well, no, I'm thinking, you can't have utensils. Were they going to shank each other in there?
Things could get heated. We're choosing a pope, y'all. Evan Jenkins. Right now we're tied, Pentecostal and Independent, 1-1.
Over the last 10 conclaves, the average amount of days to name a pope is?
Buzz. 13 days.
David, do you have a guess?
Yes, I'm going to go 5 days.
David is closer, and it averages
3.2.
3.2 days.
Average, okay.
I read that this morning. I get no credit. All right, you're both wrong. Now let's pick it up. Let's pick it up, shall we? Gentlemen, everyone understands about the white smoke is the announcement of the Pope.
Yes.
But black smoke comes out when they haven't found one. What makes the smoke white when the announcement is made? And don't say a white Pope.
Buzz.
What? We have the non-denominational.
I don't know what actually, they put chemicals in the paper.
Rico is right, and I am going to tell you what the chemicals are. Are you ready? They use a combination of potassium chlorate, lactose, and chloroform resin to turn the smoke white.
Huh.
Do you know what produces the smoke?
Doesn't seem
at
safe.
At the papal conclave.
Chloroform, just in the air.
No, resin. What produces the smoke?
Fire.
You're an idiot.
I was thinking the same though. I'm like, fire?
I learned that once.
No, I won't go fire.
Marijuana.
A buzz. A chimney?
It comes out the chimney.
Chiminea.
Chimney? What is the basis of the fire they build?
Wood.
You know what?
You brought him in here. And
hell,
I love it.
To hell with both denominations. It is actually the ballots that either didn't produce the vote needed, or the very ballots that did produce
the winning ballots. Yeah, it's like the Gatorade bath.
Yeah, they put them in a little Bunsen burner.
Right, so, where are the ballots actually put?
Some oven. It's a small.
That is no. Before they're burnt into dust, like Mike said, when they cast their ballot, what do they put it in?
Buzz. A box.
Mr. Hall.
Buzz. No, I have no clue.
I know this. Buzz. They put it in like an urn. It's like a big bowl of pasta, but it's got like a shiny decorative lid. And then they put the votes in there and they mix it up like they're determining a fantasy football draft order.
It's a lidded bronze and silver urn.
Go me.
Also, did you know they treat this like the president's there? They sweep the entire Vatican
before they put
electronic bugging devices.
Yeah, they do.
It's everything, man.
You think that these cardinals are slipping in little iPhones to try to record this?
Right.
If they did.
Oh, sending little papal texts. Hey, Luigi, yeah. You vote here, I vote there. We imagine? Get the hell out of here.
That's
cardinals
why they,
doing little TikTok dances. Oh.
That's why they take a couple weeks to start it, to get everything prepared, sweep it out.
Simple question, gentlemen. What language does the word conclave originate from?
I'm going to go buzz.
Non-denominational?
Latin.
Non-denominational. Point. Excellent work. David, for a guy who's got the rules and is an actual preacher, you're really letting people down.
I just didn't buzz in. It is Latin because that was the old language that they used back in the day.
What? You didn't buzz in fast enough.
I didn't buzz
Evan
in,
Jenkins,
no.
Please.
All right. Now, everybody in the Vatican, from cooks to translators to elevator operators, they took an oath of secrecy.
Yes.
What happens if they squawk?
They get killed.
What happens if they squawk?
They get killed.
Buzz. Non-denominational's on fire. It's an 8-0 run.
Your answer doesn't count. You didn't buzz in, sir.
I said buzz. They get killed.
Excommunicated.
I think Rico's right.
You're right.
I don't think anyone's killing them.
No,
now... there is an age limit to this.
Correct.
105.
Only cardinals under the age of...
Under 82.
82?
Wrong.
Buzz.
Only cardinals under the age of blank participate in the conclave.
Buzz. 70.
Also wrong. It's 80.
It's 80. Okay. Mm.
Evan Jenkins.
Kenny, you got anything to say about this?
Yeah, well, do you have anything, Mr. Cott?
I got nothing. I'm just enjoying the show here.
Okay.
A lot
here's
of
my
cardinals.
We should all know this. It's been everywhere.
Yes.
What number pope is this? What number pope will this be?
No shot.
It will be on their license plate, I bet. The little Popemobile cruising around. Do you think they have a license on that thing? You don't need a license if it's a Popemobile.
No, it's the only one. David, you got a clue?
Buzz, I'm going to go 55.
Buzz, I'll go.
How long do you think Catholicism has lasted? 55. It's Pope number two.
Time of Christ. I was going to say 63.
267.
Okay.
Pope number 267. It's like Michigan with team 144.
Well, they put that on the hat.
Cardinals are wearing 267 t-shirts.
Make conclave great again.
Don't forget, there is a pope with Michigan Air Jordans.
Oh, that was this pope that just passed away.
No, I think it was a pope before.
I think it was this one.
I think it was this one.
I think it was a pope before.
Our next question. We're gonna
How many popes own Air Jordans?
All right, hold on. Everybody calm down. How many sizes of papal robes are there?
Sizes?
Oh, it's got to go from XXX all the way down to small. So
sizes of papal robes.
Buzz.
How many sizes? David.
Buzz, I'm going to go 5.
Wrong. Non-denominational?
7. Buzz. Seven.
Wrong. There's only small, medium, and large.
Wow, they discriminate?
No mediums. Extra large? Wow.
What are the ballots pierced with when to ensure the vote is sealed?
Buzz. A nail.
Pentecostal.
A nail.
Wrong.
Wax.
Wrong. It's a needle with red thread.
You know that they black out all of the windows during this?
Yes.
All windows are blacked out.
Oh, no. Either you know or you know.
Correct. Correct.
All right.
This is like the college football playoff committee on that Sunday.
Yes. How many times can they vote a day?
Buzz.
Pentecostal.
The first day they vote one time. Every other after that, if they don't have a winner, it's once in the morning, once in the evening.
Wrong. Kenny. Why did I say Kenny? Rico.
Well, a lot of voting.
They're telling me too much voting.
All right, last one.
What was it?
It's 4. Okay. You're both way off. So look.
Is that 3?
Can anyone tell me what the Room of Tears is? No, it's not Kenny's bedroom. The Room of Tears.
Is this like a Scoville rating? Like how hot it gets in there? Tears. Tears of what?
The Room of Tears.
Like crying tears?
T-E-A-R-S. Tears. Like wah, wah, wah.
Buzz.
Non-denominational.
This is the room where the voting actually gets counted.
No.
Where people admit their sins and then cry
wrong.
About it.
It's a private space where the new pope changes into his new duds.
Before and he gets revealed?
And according to this, oftentimes weeps.
Do you think he's going to put OOTD on Instagram? Outfit of the day?
Okay, I'm done. Listen, I'm pretty sure Rico won. Pentecostal has work to do. Shout out. You were a 7.5-point underdog here at the Conclave. That's a big upset win. All right. That is your papal conclave trivia.